Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Ken Nibali, Associate Commissioner for Disability in the Social Security Administration. And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, John Lanehart.
Ken, SSA consistently ranks very high among federal agencies for its customer service. What do you think has been SSA's major success factor for this?
I think the reasons are fairly straightforward. First and foremost, we're simply a service-oriented organization. We're there to help people pay benefits and help them in what are pretty vulnerable times of their lives, and that obviously engenders, rightfully so, I think, a good reaction to what we're about. Secondly, we're located in every community in this country. I think to many people, we are the federal government. The post office is probably out there a little more than we are, but in terms of actual dealings and services being provided, where the government would kind of look, or people would look to the government, I think generally SSA is very much an organization that comes first and foremost to people's minds. And another reason is very simply it's our culture. That's a word that's often used and probably misused in many ways, but I think it's extremely true for our organization. We just have the type of people, we attract the type of people that want to give service and want to get the kind of reactions in that the public gives us. We have kind of a mantra, or you could even call it a vision nowadays, of of what we're all about, and that's pay the right person the right check at the right time. And it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward, but when we keep on that track, we find we do very, very well. And finally, I will tell you, we measure an awful lot in our agency. We do an awful lot of measuring about what people understand, how we're servicing, how long they wait, whether they're satisfied with our service. We have a fairly significant number of people who do go out and do follow-up interviews with people and really find out what they thought of our service. And when you measure things, as you know, people tend to pay much more attention to that, and it also helps management deal with individuals if there's any questions about what kind of service is being provided. So it's just all through our culture, and like I say, we take a lot of pride in it, and we always enjoy hearing favorable comments back.
As you indicated, SSA and Office of Disability's mission is service. And I'm curious, you have to give service to everybody. How do you deal with so many languages and disability barriers when you interact with the customers?
It is a challenge, as I'm sure it is for any organization. But again, our strength is that we are throughout the entire community, and that therefore we do much of our hiring throughout the entire country. And our field offices, our servicing offices out there in every community, we make explicit efforts to make sure that we hire individuals with language abilities. Obviously, Spanish is the next major language in this country, and in many parts of the South, Southwest, West, major portions of the individuals we hire will have Spanish-speaking capability. The challenges now are the many, particularly Asian languages that are coming to the front that we really need. Need to make sure are in our offices and available. One of the challenges there is to hire individuals in the federal government, you need to be a citizen. And citizenship takes a certain number of years, and as certain populations start coming in, you don't have a sufficient number right away to be able to actually hire. But as time goes on, we've caught up with many of those as well. And we're also, I think, justifiably proud of our 800 number service. It is an 800 number. It's 800-SSA-1213 for anyone who's interested. And you call that number, and you can get any information about SSA you need. And we have, in fact, recently won awards for our multi-language facilities there, gateways, that when you call in, you actually get a selection of choices to hit on the menus, if you will, of what language you would like to be serviced in. And then we can route those calls to different segments of the country where we have those kinds of skills.
SSA has expressed a deep concern about the double impact of workforce retirements and the increasing workloads from the aging population with the baby boom. What are the agency's top human resources concerns, and what steps are being taken to address them?
Well, our biggest one, I suspect, is shared by many agencies, and that is we absolutely have a retirement wave that not only is coming, we're in the middle of it now. We did much of our hiring back in the early 70s. For anyone who follows the Social Security program, there is the sort of Social Security program proper that everyone thinks of. But then there's also the Supplemental Security Income Program that came from the states and to be run by the federal government back in the early to mid-70s. And at that time, when Social Security took that program on, we hired an awful lot of people. Well, guess what? Those people are now approaching the retirement age. And so, you know, our projections are very high for what's going to be happening. So obviously the challenges in front of us are projecting, you know, who's leaving and what the needs are to continue to hire the kind of individuals with the diversity that I spoke of before, make sure the training and tools are there, the work environment, you know, all the kinds of things that companies are doing. SSA is in the middle of that. I would just observe that given our culture and our very much family atmosphere of what's going on, I don't think it's a bad thing that we're going to have a fair amount of turnover as well. You never like that. You know, you always have a new group of people coming in that have to be sort of trained and gotten used to how things go on. But I think as an organization, SSA will benefit from that, as any organization does with some new blood as we go along. So I hope we also view that as a positive as we move forward, as well as the issues that we'll have to deal with.
Just to set context, you talk about the number of employees at SSA and they need to be perhaps hiring in the near term. What type of skills does SSA employ? You've described yourself as an economist, kind of an amateur statistician and a lawyer, and I'm trying to understand. That's not what I would have thought. I would have thought there would have been a lot more actuaries and accountant type things.
First and foremost, the kinds of folks we have in Social Security are our claims representatives, the people on the front line who deal with individuals when they come in, as I said, often at very vulnerable times in their lives to file claims. And they need, you know, they need help. They need some hand-holding. They need information. And basically, they need the job done to make sure that if they have benefits coming, that they will get those. So that's kind of first and foremost the type of people that we have, the frontline individuals. Perhaps where you're thinking is more when you get into our central office or our headquarters in Baltimore. We have an incredible array of occupations. Probably the largest, single most there are systems. You know, we run one of the biggest systems, certainly outside Department of Defense, anywhere in the world. And we're very heavily automated now. You know, all of our information is on, runs through mainframe computers and is on direct access storage devices because as we deal on the front line with individuals, we literally have a claims rep get online and call up people's records about what earnings they've reported over, you know, 30, 40 years of working and what our records say about their age, et cetera, et cetera. So the systems is very, very large. Then, of course, you need people, I'll say like me, who have to kind of know what the programs are, write the policies, and those individuals can be from a variety of backgrounds. Yes, we have many lawyers because we have lots of people who appeal, some who even sue us, as any government agency knows. So we have a number of lawyers. We have actuaries, you know, reports right to the commissioner because they do make the projections and set the actuarial tables, et cetera, for just how much money we plan on spending and therefore how much taxes we have to collect and those types of things. So it's a pretty endless supply, and it's one of the things I hope people would keep in mind about SSA in particular, and even government in general, going to be a lot of opportunities for a lot of young people, I think, in the coming years throughout government because so many agencies are in a similar position to ours.
You've talked about SSA working with state-level organizations and even other federal-level organizations. What are the challenges in managing efforts that involve multiple organizations?
Well, the disability program is again, a bit unique, certainly for SSA, in terms of the federal-state relationships that I spoke about. We, of course, deal with many other federal agencies, including the what used to be the Healthcare Financing Administration and Department of Labor and, of course, Health and Human Services. And I know my boss, Martin Gary, who's come in very recently, is very interested in a lot more government interaction and coordination about serving many times the same people. You know, Department of Labor is out there with their offices about coming in for help on various issues. So he is being very aggressive about trying to bring more of that kind of activity together. But I would like to mention just for a few minutes the particular challenges of running a federal program through a state structure. And first and foremost, the state employees and agencies that we deal with are a good group of people. In fact, they're a great group of people. They perform very well. I think we get very efficient operations out of them. And quite frankly, they're very, very willing to work closely with us, and we've worked hard at establishing a partnership there. The reality is, though, that they are still state employees. They do not work for our commissioner or the president. They work for their governor. And even though I am sitting there with my budget saying I am willing to support, you know, 200 or 300 state employees in state X, Y, or Z, and that's what you need to run the program, if their governor believes for his or her, you know, particular timing and political reasons that he or she wants to downsize the state workforce, by gosh, they'll do that, and that makes it awfully hard for us to run a situation. So there's a lot of negotiation and a lot of discussions back and forth that go on there.
Well, that's a good stopping point. Come back with us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation about management with Ken Nibali of SSA. What might the future hold for SSA? We'll ask Ken for his thoughts when the Business of Government Hour returns.